Hello and welcome to the Farming Advice Service podcast. I'm Laura Harpham, and today we'll be talking about the Future Farm Resilience Fund. I'm joined by Sarah Starkey, who has many metaphorical hats: farmer, farm consultant, member of the Herefordshire Rural Hub, and advisor with the Future Farm Resilience Fund deliverer, Ricardo. Now, hopefully, listeners have heard of the Future Farm Resilience Fund, which is quite a mouthful. So if we refer to it as the FFRF at some point during the podcast, bear with us. And I know that there are some roadshows happening at the moment, so people might have been along to those. And it's also being promoted through the DEFRA channels. Now, today we'll cover quite a high-level overview of what the fund is, what it supports, and what the providers are, as well as some more detail about the offer from Ricardo and how people can access that support. But before we get into that, Sarah, thank you very much for joining me. Welcome. Could you give us a brief intro to yourself and your involvement with the programme, please?
Yes, sure. Hello. So I'm Sarah Starkey. I work for the Herefordshire Rural Hub, but as you mentioned, I wear many hats. So I've been working with the hub for the past 7 years, and as part of that, I've been delivering resilience funds for farmers. And this particular one, the Future Farming Resilience Fund, is one that I'm delivering now for Ricardo, which is aimed at helping farms become more resilient, really, with all the many changes that are happening with the Agricultural Transition Plan.
Sure. Yeah, of course. People will hopefully know through exposure to Farming Advice Service, whether that's a newsletter or the webinars that we do, we are very aware that it is a time of change and that it is quite challenging for people to get their heads around. And it seems that DEFRA has taken that on board and recognised that some extra support specifically focused at transition and move into new schemes out of BPS and everything else that's going on with the legal changes is very welcome. Can you give us a little bit more kind of a fleshing out of what the fund looks like in terms of aims and also things like timeline and who it is for? What's the eligibility?
Right, yes. Well, the Future Farm Resilience Fund is opened for this phase in 2022, was it September last year, and will carry on until March 2025. So that's the key date to remember. There are 17 providers in the UK for this fund. And to be able to apply, you have to be claiming BPS. You have to have an SBI number. And more recently, if you don't do those things, DEFRA have just added that you can be in an HLS scheme. So that's a higher level student.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. So we know that there are 17 providers. Obviously, Ricardo is one, and I will post a link through to the list of providers. And also, gov.uk provides a breakdown of what kind of advice each of the providers is offering, and also if it is regionally specific. I know that there are some that are offering support across the whole of England, others are a little bit more regional. In terms of the kind of thing that Ricardo are offering and that you've been working with them on since the second phase has opened, what kind of support are people eligible for? What are they asking for?
With this project, there is a one-to-one business resilience support. So that means that agricultural consultants will come out and have a really in-depth look at your business, see how resilient you are, see what the changes to BPS will make to your business, and then look at ways at how to increase turnover and make up for that gap in receiving BPS. Also, there is an environmental sustainability support package, which will look at all the new ELM schemes that are available on farm. And there is a really great resource, which is an online toolbox of resources, so that you can go and have a look at that. And if there's something that you particularly need to look at, for instance, say a topic like succession planning, there'll be sort of to-do lists on what to think about and what to talk about with making sure that your succession plans are correct for your business. And then also there are in-person workshops, local events, which might involve things like farm walks or something specific to your area. So that will have a regional bias.
Okay, so that sounds like quite a good mix, depending on whether people want to maybe have an initial like explore of what the options are themselves, look at the toolbox and have a think about what their business might need. And then you could go along to a group event if you're not quite ready for that one-to-one, and then kind of work up to the one-to-one support. Is it that the whole suite of support is available for each person, or do you have to pick individual activities?
It's very tailored to you and your farm, because I think we realise, being deliverers of this project, that no two farms are the same. So it is up to you what you choose to use and what you choose to go to and who you choose to invite to your farm.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so yeah, lots of, as you say, tailoring for what the needs of the business are, rather than it being a kind of template situation. In terms of coming back to what we were saying about the providers, I think I'm right in understanding that although there are lots of different providers within the scheme, you essentially have to choose one, so you can't have the same support from lots of different people.
Yeah, that's correct. You can only choose one, and DEFRA will check that your SBI number is only aligned with one provider.
I see. Okay. So again, we'd refer people onto the list of providers that we will share, and people can kind of make an assessment on the basis of what they think they need and who is best placed to deliver that. Are you able to give us, obviously respecting the confidentiality of the process, any kind of case study examples of things that you have done through the fund since this second phase has been delivered?
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, no two farms are the same. So this is sort of one specific one, but a cereal and a vegetable business that was visited had historically been making a loss over the last 5 years, but they had a strong balance sheet, but it was sort of being eroded and debt had been growing. So with this particular project, the Ricardo project, it's Anderson's consultants that go in. And they identified that their overheads were too high. They were able to work with the farm to reduce overheads by 100,000, which,
okay,
yeah, wow. Huge,
yeah,
amount.
Significant.
They were looking at restructuring, and they looked at the younger generation coming in, but they helped that transition by giving confidence to the older generation and really sort of reviewed the process, and lots of changes were made and a bit of hand-holding went on with this project. And they also looked at new renewables and a new property project that was coming online. And now they are turning a profit. So so that was a really, really good one. Quite a big change from, you know, with the generations, but they just needed a bit of extra support and some numbers really to sort of flesh out that the younger generation could cope with it.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. No, that's a really nice success story. And in terms of what that looks like for time spent on farm or time spent with consultants, is there a particular amount of time that it usually works out at that in terms of hours or days?
Well, with this project, you will receive 3 days of free consultancy advice, not all on farm. It's normally half a day on farm and then back in the office, work going on. But yeah, 3 days of free support. That's just the business support. And then the environmental support, or looking at new possibilities, is another visit. Or actually, some people have been doing these visits via Zoom if it's easier. So sure. You don't have to have somebody out on farm.
Okay, that's good to know. And I imagine, although I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we know that there's quite a lot of announcement expected in the next year, especially around the new standards for the SFI. So as that is rolled out, is it expected that that'll be taken into account with the environmental element of the
Yes.
support as well?
Yes, everybody's almost waiting with bated breath for the next rollout of SFI standards. So yeah, it's constantly moving, new information coming out of DEFRA all the time. So what you get from your visit will be up to date, but then when you're part of this scheme, you will be able to access all online updates and bulletins and information as it happens. So yeah, you will be in the loop by taking part in this. You will be one of the first to know what's new.
Okay, because that was my follow-up question. I know that as part of the fund as a whole, it's very generous, but it isn't open-ended. So It's a first come, first serve basis in terms of people accessing the fund. If people were thinking, oh, maybe I should hold off until some of the announcements have been made before accessing support, is there a risk that actually if you wait too long, you'll miss out?
Yes, there is a risk because, yeah, as you say, it's a fairly generous pot that DEFRA put together, but it is first come, first served. So I would urge people to sign up now. You could then maybe postpone your visit for a year or, you know, any time before sort of January 2025. But I would sign up now so that you are on the list and that you will be one of the farmers receiving the support. But you don't have to have the visit tomorrow. But yeah, I would sign up now.
Okay, brilliant. And that brings me on to my next question, really, which is how do people do that if they've been inspired by this podcast or they've been thinking about it for a while and they're ready to take the next step? Well, what is that step in terms of registering?
Well, all the providers are available to be seen on the DEFRA website. And for this particular project, you can have a look at the Ricardo website, which is FFRF, that stands for Future Farm Resilience Fund, .ricardo.com, and you can just sign up online. It's quite a quick questionnaire. It does ask for your SBI number, and it does ask if you would like a business and an environmental visit, or just one or the other, because you can pick and choose. And that's all you need to do, and then you'll be contacted and you'll be in the loop for a farm visit and all the other information.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you. So we'll put all the relevant links in for people. I think that's all the questions that I had, and hopefully it's given everybody a fairly good overview, both of the scheme more generally and also of the specific provider options for Ricardo. Thank you, Sarah, for your time, and thanks to you, the listeners. Please do check out the other episodes in the FAS podcast series. Thanks also to DEFRA, who fund the Farming Advice Service to help farmers in England understand and meet the requirements of cross-compliance, the basic payment scheme and other relevant UK and EU policies, as well, of course, as funding the Future Farm Resilience Fund to support resilience through the agricultural transition. You can find information on FAS events, webinars, technical articles and other online resources at farmingadviceservice.org.uk and follow us on Twitter at DEFRAFAS. The podcast and newsletter team would welcome any feedback and suggestions on what else you want to know more about. So please do email us at advice@farmingadviceservice.org.uk, or you can send us a tweet. And if you'd like to keep up to date with future podcasts, the events that we run and news from the Farming Advice Service, you can sign up to the monthly newsletter, which is packed full of timely nudges around cross-compliance and also relevant advice on the FAS website, farmingadviceservice.org.uk. Thank you. Bye-bye.